Welcome to Next Steps, a podcast from Black Hawk Church. We believe that following Jesus is a lifelong journey. So no matter where you're at, there's always a next step to take. Each week on this podcast, we'll create space for real conversations about the questions we wrestle with, the challenges we face, and the hope we find in Jesus. Our goal isn't to have it all perfectly figured out, but to walk faithfully towards Jesus together. We're so glad you're joining us. Let's dive in. Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 in our Advent series. My name is Christian. I'm your host for the series, and I'm joined by two of our worship leaders today, Matt Wilhelm and Isaiah Wu. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Hello, guys. Hi, Christian. You're the best.
Hi. So fun to be with you. So this week, the Advent theme that we're pressing into is hope, and we're also considering its counterparts, waiting and longing. And so let's start here. When you think of hope, waiting, longing, what comes to mind? Any like reactions or responses or feelings that come up with this theme?
Oh man, so many. I think when I think about hope, waiting, longing, and really the Christmas season in general, like I love the gritty aspect of the Christmas story and the Christmas season, and that there really is, it's kind of like a story of Christianity in a microcosm in some ways, where there's this like already but not yet aspect to it, and people celebrating the birth of this child who as a physical human baby is not really going to enact a ton of change or something, and you're waiting for him to grow into something. And even after his crucifixion, resurrection, you're waiting for something to like change. And yeah, I love that. I actually love it that God enters into that. And it's a space where we have to, it's a space where I think we have to resonate with God who enters into that and is willing to feel the waiting that we often do. I don't know. I think Christmas is a space that it resonates less with like chipper jolly at times and more, I haven't received the thing I'm longing for. I haven't gotten the thing I'm longing for. I haven't received reprieve from the thing that's causing suffering in my life. And that reminder that God enters into that space. So that's really dark to start off a Christmas discussion.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Joy to the world.
Jingle bells.
Jingle bells. Yes, there it is. Sorry.
I love it. Yeah, I feel like so much of our life as humans is waiting for something. In small and big ways. Like you're waiting in the pickup line to get your kids. You're waiting on something to be delivered to your house. You're waiting for whatever the next thing is, the next job, the next class, the next whatever, the next relationship. Like we're so much of our life is spent waiting for the next thing. And I think we don't always make good use of that, and we don't always like think of that in a helpful or hopeful way. Or sometimes rest maybe too much hope on the thing that's to come that actually is just going to leave us waiting for the next thing.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about that yesterday a little bit.
Yeah,
talking theology of worship stuff and like making sure we don't sing or coach people to sing promises of God that weren't actually promises of God. And sometimes leading people and leading our church into a space that's not a healthy dwelling on who God is. And so how so much of our longing pain can come from a misunderstanding of what God has actually promised us. And it's usually not, God has not promised us health and wealth and an easy, comfortable path.
Yeah, it's like at the same time, not what we hope for and yet so much more than we hope for.
Yeah.
At the same time. Yeah. It's like, God actually doesn't promise an easy life, but he promises to never leave you, and that's actually better. Hard to believe that, true nonetheless.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that way.
What about you, Isaiah? Any thoughts, reflections on hope and longing?
A lot is swimming around in my mind, but as you were talking just about like waiting for the next thing, I think I've recently stepped into a really unique season where for the first time, there's no end date on the season that I'm in right now.
You're just adulting now.
I'm just adulting. In regular life. So scary. Like, pray for your boy because it's crazy out here. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, with school, that's like, I'm going to graduate from high school and then I go to college. I'm going to graduate from college. And then, you know, and now I'm here and I've moved to Madison and I'm working full time. And it's just kind of like, okay, this is like the life that I have. And in some other seasons where maybe I've like not had the community of people that I've wanted or had the, schedule or routines that I wanted for myself. Like now it's kind of like, all right, I'm kind of here and I'm, you know, growing some roots and I'm figuring out what I want my life to look like right now. And it's kind of like, all right, I'm not like waiting for the next thing. I'm just like figuring it out. Like, how am I going to find like a good, a rich, abundant life here at this point in my life? So
yeah, that's good. I feel like that's something, I feel like it's something that most people are really uncomfortable with, actually, which I think sometimes maybe causes us to look for the next thing to wait for, or even again, to, this is just like a small picture of it, but I think sometimes that's what leads us to things like over shopping, and especially in this season, you know, where we think there's lots to buy, lots of things to do, whatever. But I think some of us, it's like we want to have something to wait for because the waiting can feel, I don't know, exciting or enticing in some ways. There's like some part of us that wants that, even though there's all these like negative side effects of it too. Anyway,
that's good though. I mean, the waiting is kind of like a, I don't know, as you're saying that, and you said over shopping or whatever. Just gets me stewing on the number of dumb things that I have done in life when I don't accept the waiting and I like don't accept contentment in that spot.
Yeah.
And I try to grab control of my life or it sends you down a path of like coping mechanisms to try and like allow yourself some reprieve in that waiting rather than, I don't know, maybe just the waiting is the point. Just getting refined in that space is the point, and being able to,
maybe God has something for you in that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. maybe rather than whatever it takes to numb myself in that is really healthy to not avoid. It's just healthy to avoid those things.
Yeah.
Kind of accept it.
That's so good. One of my mentors said often, like, we end up giving ourselves to things that we want now. Instead of thinking about the things that we want most. And I think he was talking specifically about like sin and just how easy it is to like indulge ourselves in the things that we can grasp now, like the cheap versions of the things that we actually want. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does. Well, that's idol worship, right? That's core. Like that's, Isaiah and I had a good talk yesterday and I'm just, all this stuff is coming to mind in light of this. Sorry. It's a repeat for Isaiah and I. Is like, that's Exodus 32 as the Israelites wait at the foot of Mount Sinai and Moses hasn't come back. And they're just like, well, it's been
better
a while.
Better do something about this.
Yeah, we got to do something about it. I bet this golden calf is going to serve as a better God to worship than Yahweh. So we should probably do that.
Well, and that's just it. It's like we are made to worship. And so, yeah, if we don't know how to properly orient that towards God, we're going to find something else to direct all that energy into. And that leads to all kinds of trouble.
Lots. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So on that note, I feel like we're already kind of digging into this, but this waiting, longing, and hoping are complex topics. And sometimes the thing we're hoping and waiting for is exciting and we're like buzzing and joyful in the waiting. I think about even like kids waiting for Christmas, that like the hope and the joy, you know, for them, the waiting for Christmas is an exciting thing. Or if you're about to get married or whatever, it's like there's some excitement about the waiting. But there are other times where the things that our souls are longing for is something that's really hard to wait for, either because we desperately, desperately want it or need it in some way. And the waiting gets so challenging. Matt, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what are some ways that the story of Jesus and the story of Christmas especially that can help us hold on to hope in the midst of longing and waiting?
Whoa. That's a good question.
That's a big question. Can I defer to Isaiah? No, just kidding.
I mean,
unless you got an answer, I actually will.
Isaiah is ready.
Let me think about this for a second. Yeah.
I mean, I think about the way that the Israelites like had to like they waited for Jesus's coming, and he came. Like, you know, the Messiah came, and maybe it wasn't exactly how they expected him to come. Like, they were wanting him to be this revolutionary, like, guy. But he came. Like, what was promised in the Bible, what was promised, like, what was passed down, like, it actually happened. And so now that, you know, we have this promise of Jesus's second return, it's almost like when we look back at the story of Jesus, we get to see the way that God was faithful to, like, send Jesus to this earth and to do this whole, like, new covenant thing that was promised. And so now we get the benefit of seeing God at work in that, having already done that. So we almost have this, like, unique, I guess we're in this special time to where we can see that and then also have, oh, yeah, God actually did what he said he's going to do. So I can have full assurance that Jesus is coming back again. And there's something that I get to wait for that I know is going to happen. And it might not be in my ideal timeline or how I don't know. But there's almost like this, oh, yeah, like this is inevitable. And we're just standing in this in-between time in the waiting.
Yeah, we get to experience a portion of the fulfillment of the promise of salvation. It reminds me of thinking specifically about the Advent story and some of the scripture passages we turn to. Luke 2, the end of Luke 2 talks about these two people, Simeon and Anna, who were waiting in the temple and longing to see the Messiah. And they got to see him before they died. Baby Jesus, little baby Jesus being dedicated in the temple. And they got to reach that level of fulfillment, even though, you know, I don't know that they made it to see resurrection, but like they got to see that the promise was fulfilled. And so I think those are two people, two stories we can look to be like, okay, we got to experience a portion of the hope fulfilled.
And that's, that hope, holding on to hope to me feels like a multi-layered thing in some ways where, as you were talking, Isaiah, like it is that sense of God has done it once before. And he said he was going to do it. He did it. And even in the beginning portions of that waiting, like the gift of the Spirit to his church is this beautiful, like, foretaste of presence with God. And I think we get to take part in that. And that's, you could do 7 other podcasts on that conversation too. That's fine. But the way he enters in, I think, in Christmas, and I don't know, I am just so kind of anti, like, the really pretty sparkly Christmas.
There's a lot of words I'd use to describe you, not glittery, sparkly, <That's> happy, clappy.
That's
not
me.
Matt.
That's not me.
Yeah,
that's
you're
not
just
me.
Boring, sad, and really pessimistic all the
very
time.
Sad,
just,
very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. Just heavy, like a heavy presence, you know? Yeah.
I love the different vibe of having artists on the podcast right now. This is very different. The last series I did was all like the theological minds, which you guys also have that richness. But I'm just like, oh, this is so different recording with artsy types versus our, I love them, but our very intellectual friends.
Yes. A little bit of sarcasm, a little bit of self-deprecation. No, but I think the way he enters in, I think, so honestly, some of the way Christmas commercially is celebrated, it kind of suffocates like the efficacy of the message of it in a lot of ways, where it does become this like capitalist thing where you're just funneling money into the economy and buying presents for each other. And I think it's easy to forget Jesus as the child born in scandal. Not just like your typical nuclear family situation. That's not Mary's story. That's not Joseph's story. And even watching Joseph's mercy as kind of like this beautiful, like what a cool person for God to select to be Jesus's earthly father. This guy who, like, when he hears about Mary being pregnant is like, presumes she's been unfaithful. This is another man's baby. He wants to like just part ways with her in secret so as to not like shame her or disgrace her. And he listens to a dream from an angel, which I don't know how many of us.
It gives me chills thinking of it. I'm like, and not like, oh, that's so lovely. Like, that would be terrifying.
It would be terrifying. Or imagine being a young Mary and an angel visits you and is like,
this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're with child now.
Oh, and great. Thanks.
Like, the shadow, awesome. Like the Almighty will like overshadow you. Like, what? Mm-hmm. There's a lot there that we don't have to recount every detail of the Christmas story, but I think in every detail, the way God fulfills that promise reminds me that I think I, in my brokenness, in the areas where I'm not, areas of life where I'm just not patient or content, the areas where like I am not fully formed into the image of Jesus yet, Jesus has gone before me and stepped into those spaces and lived a life that was very, very messy. I think that's just, in general, in this season, it's a good season maybe to remember that people who aren't neat around the edges, that might be a little rough around the edges, are really close to the heart of God. And people who are suffering are really close to the heart of God. People who are walking in circumstances that are really, really hard and not pretty or glittery or shiny or whatever. Like, those are the people that are closest to the heart of God. That is who God became as a human. He willfully did not become the refined, really well-rounded person.
He could have been born an earthly king.
Yeah.
Like, he could have. Mm-hmm. But he chose to be born in, the most crazy of circumstances to a young, unwed woman. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just wild.
It is. It genuinely, like, even his refugee status, like, that notion of literally threatened by political violence.
Yeah.
The heaviness of Herod killing all
the young boys
under the age of two and under.
Yeah.
Is like, that's not a Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. We leave that part out of
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Again, I did it again. Dang it. It's not a Sunday school lesson, though. Like, not like today, we're going to talk about the murder of the kids.
We do the nativity play. Yeah. Everybody run for your lives.
Everybody run for your lives. Yeah. Play. Like, no, exactly. Nobody's doing that, right? So, almost got me on a tangent, but didn't. So I think, I think that's why I love the grittiness of it, is that like if the story of Christmas is neat and well-rounded and all the people are gathering in this quiet feeding trough where Jesus is laying.
And somehow it's slowly snowing in Bethlehem.
Yeah, it's just quiet and whatever, and Mary's not in pain and Jesus is just sleeping. Like, I think that really, really destroys the hope that actually exists and makes that hope kind of meaningless. Mm. It's to the point of the resurrection too. Like, if you don't have darkness, then light kind of loses its punch, right? If you don't have the death of Jesus, then the resurrection is kind of a meh. If death is just this like nothingness, that if death isn't a big deal, then the resurrection is not a big deal either. Mm. So anyway, if the Christmas story is neat and has a bow tied on it, then our hope is easygoing. And we need to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and figure it out. No problem.
Yeah. I don't think hope, and like when I think about Christmas, I don't think hope is meant to be just this like bubbly, nice feeling Christmas cheer. Like, oh, that was nice. Like, I'm just going to go back to my normal life. Like, I think the Christmas story loses its power when we reduce it to just like a nice holiday vibes situation.
Yeah.
And I feel like living in this world is already hard enough. Mm. And then when you think about like living this life here in this time without hope, I think it's even harder. Like, when I think about like all the things that we go through, because like it's so easy to distract ourselves from like the hard things in life, but I think when we really slow down long enough to be like, oh, there are like things that actually are difficult in this life, and there are things that hurt, and there are things that I want to be different about our world or my life. And if I didn't have this hope of what heaven is going to be like, I would find it really hard to keep going in this life, honestly.
Yeah.
But when I like, when I think of songs that like mention what heaven's going to be like or read passages and it's like, oh, there's going to be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, no more hiding. It suddenly gives me this perspective that is so much bigger than what I can see in my life right now.
Yeah.
And it gives me, I don't know, it just gives me this like strange desire to keep going like in this life and to stay faithful to the Lord. Like, yes, it is worth it to carry these hard things and continue to try to be faithful to Jesus, because there is a reward in the end that I get to look forward to. And if we didn't have that reward to look forward to, I don't know how, you know, it's got to be really hard for people who don't believe in Jesus and don't believe in like an afterlife like that, because then it's just like the only thing that you're living for is what you have right now. And everything in this world is going to pass away.
Yeah, we have more reason to hope than just about anybody on the planet. But the hope comes with a grittiness about it. Mm-hmm. That it's like, it's not the easy, shiny, like persistently joyful hope. It is a gritty, like, despite everything, I will hope.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like that's what God offers to us throughout all of Scripture. And there's a picture of it in the Nativity story.
For the record, I don't hate Christmas vibes. There was a time in life where I think I did. I don't.
You are the Grinch.
I am the Grinch.
Stealing Christmas.
I think.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I think my wife has the healthiest balance of like Christmas cheer and like excitement. But it's not like Christmas in July.
That's good. That's too much for me.
Too much, yeah.
We did decorate our house.
But live your life, you know?
I mean, we decorate our house in like second weekend of November.
That's fine. You.
No tree up, but like it's been great. Just crushing Hallmark Christmas movies.
And like whatever you need to survive this cold, dark winter, you do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so on that note, do you guys have any thoughts on ways that we can wait well? Like how do we hold on to hope in the waiting and the longing?
I think for me, this is the thing I'm trying in life in general, is an intentional slowdown to reflect where each morning I'm trying to wake up and like, this is going to sound really funny to people who are like really in tune with what they're feeling all the time. I'm not always in tune with what I'm feeling all the time. So like, I think for me, I wake up in the morning and I try to like stop for a second with the cup of coffee and just ask, what am I feeling right now? Write it down and then dare to tell somebody like what I'm feeling, right? What I'm thinking about. But for me, that actually helps to slow down, because zooming out, I really do believe that so much of our sin and so much of our like rebellion against who God is and what he desires for us comes from trying to speed up a process that we are entirely out of control of. Like we just don't, it kind of comes back to the core, like Adam and Eve sin in a lot of ways, like the desire of like to be God and not just the image of God. And being the image of God is such a, I think it's actually like a really dignified, beautiful, yet shockingly restful and peaceful space when I'm not trying to control all the outcomes. When I can release the outcomes. So anyway, the reflection point for me is one where when I slow down and start to acknowledge, like I feel discontentment in XYZ. Mm-hmm. I feel longing in XYZ. I feel rushed and hurried or disappointed or whatever the negative emotion is, if it's a negative emotion. It helps me to at least be aware that I'm feeling that so that I don't jump into habits of coping, whatever that is.
Yeah.
That can be with my kids even. Like I hope and dream the best for my kids. And as a dad, I will sometimes respond to my kids in a way that wants to like control what they're feeling. I see them bubbling up with big emotion and I want to be like, no, don't
wait,
like,
wait.
Yeah. wait, don't freak out. Really, they need a safe space to freak out. And I just don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with it. Hmm. I'm feeling rushed or I'm feeling tired and I don't want to bear that. And so I actually behave in a way that doesn't display God's image well to my kids in that moment. But anyway, I tend to think slowing down to actually reflect on what you're feeling in that moment and really honestly bringing that to God and in a real honest, raw conversation. That's the Psalms. Was it? I don't know how many years the Psalms cover, like 1,000 years.
A long time
of people responding to God, and the stuff that they say to God is so much. It's so expressive. And from my like Northern Wisconsin Germanic background, it's a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like big, like, oh God, where are you? Like, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really strong. But sometimes I feel those too. And instead of reacting out of that emotion to try and change my own circumstance or stop my kids from yelling or like freaking out or being sad on something, maybe I slow down and give that to God and ask for strength and endurance, and he will enter in with me to that. Mm. Like you said, Isaiah, he already entered in once and continues to enter in day after day, moment by moment with me by his spirit. So like, ask for him to enter in and give me endurance and patience and joy and kindness and the fruit of the spirit in that, rather than, God, I've waited long enough. I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna figure it out.
I'll do a quick fix. I got duct tape.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so good. Okay, my brain is like, woo! But I think sometimes maybe we're waiting for our circumstances to change, or we're waiting for something in our lives to change so that we can finally like reach the next thing or find that fulfillment. But in reality, it's a lot more about digging and trying to see where God is in the midst of where you are right now and allowing him to show up in those small ways wherever you are, instead of waiting for, you know, the next thing to happen. Or like for example, I'm not married, I'm single, and my brother's getting married, my sister is married. And what's interesting is like growing up in the church, there was always this narrative that like, you know, the pinnacle of life is like getting married and having kids and having this nuclear family. And then that's when you're really like, you know,
You've arrived.
You're mature. Like you're giving and receiving like true love from someone else. And so there was always this idea like, am I always going to be waiting for that in order to feel this sense of like, oh, I've made it, or oh, I can finally have this sense of security where I don't need to like look to other things to give me that anymore.
Yeah.
And I think it was maybe in my college years where God started to like reframe that for me. And it was more like, hey, like seek me in your just normal life. Like see how I'm working, like pray, ask for the smallest things, ask for the biggest things, and just see what I do. And like almost learning to enjoy that daily life with him instead of like waiting for my status to change or waiting for the right community to come along or whatever. It was more of this like, I don't know, like figuring out how to do life with God in a way. Cause ultimately like once I started to like really start walking with him more closely, more and more he showed me, oh, he delights in me. He loves me. He's providing for me. He actually answers prayer, and in that process I was sort of able to, oh, like life with God is actually really good and it's enjoyable, and I don't need to wait for, you know, my marital status to change to start like experiencing life abundant. And it almost like you know, instead of having this scarcity mindset, like, oh, I don't have this, or I'm not like living into whatever culture says I need to have in order to have a full life. Like it almost, it gave me the ability to see what I had with God already.
Yeah.
And to find a sense of contentment in that. And I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of rambling at this point.
No,
but
I feel like that's great. What I notice in both of your responses is that the first step towards hope is honesty. Honesty with yourself, honesty before God.
Holy, summarize.
And I feel like,
good.
I feel really like good. We see that pattern in the Psalms and in Lamentations. It's like there's this honest laying bare before God. Here's everything that I think about you, everything that I'm feeling. Here's the reality of my circumstances, and it looks bleak. Yeah. And once you've poured all out all that honesty, pretty much every Psalm and the Book of Lamentations, they end with this, and yet still I hope.
Mm.
And but I feel like so often in the church today, in the West, and you know, Midwestern culture especially, but more broadly than that, even we want to rush people towards hope. We want to respond to the longings with, "Here's the truth of God. Here's the truth of God. Here's the truth of God." And those things are true, and we need to have them, but we need to have the space for the honesty first.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're in a place, you're listening and you're like in that place of longing and waiting, and maybe you're not feeling the hope, like start with honesty and just see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I like the like reflection space too. I think a lot of us don't make enough space for reflection and contemplation in our lives. And so, for the listeners, if it's helpful, we are going to be putting a reflection space in the show notes. And so that's all around the theme of hope and longing and waiting. And so I would suggest giving that a try once, or try it this week and see how it goes. But yeah, make space to be honest before God and just see what he might do. So, okay, I want to take it a little bit more personal. Is there anything that you're hoping or longing for right now?
$1 million. I'm just kidding.
Isaiah, you went
prophesy.
Into the...
Prophesy. It's you, in the name.
Oh, no. You oh went gosh. Into the wrong industry
no,
for
not.
That.
Cut that one
the
out.
Wrong field.
Yeah, I'm in the wrong career.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think for me...
like, see, this right question now, requires honesty. Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
I think right now, like, I'm in this new season. I'm meeting a lot of people. Mm. I'm, like, friend dating a lot of people. Like, oh, who are going to be my people? And so I'm just longing for, a family, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the church is supposed to be this family where we're not just showing up on Sundays to, like, see the service together. No, we're, like, doing life together. We're serving together. We're eating together. And so I'm excited to build that in this season. Just find my people, find a community, be known and loved and accepted. And
Yeah, for those who haven't met Isaiah yet, he just moved here in September. He's our newest worship hire.
Whoa.
He's awesome.
Praise
Very
God.
Worth knowing.
Praise
so
God.
I know you've got a full list of people, I'm sure, that you're friend dating, but but he's awesome. If you haven't met him yet, you should make sure that you get to know Isaiah.
That's so good. The friend dating phase is so strange as an adult when, like, community is not spoon fed to you. Like when we my family and I moved to Madison 3.5 years ago. And it was just funny to, like, start a conversation with some dude. Isaac Mitchell is producing the show. Cool dude.
He's the best.
He's
super
a cool dude.
Cool.
Yeah, he just moved here.
He loves that we're talking about him right
he's
now.
He's not on mic, so he can't say a single thing. He's just giggling.
You could also friend date him if you want.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm like, hey, man, you want to go to Chipotle? He's like, I love Chipotle.
He loves Chipotle.
Yes, another person. So it's like, it's just funny to be like, do you want to go?
We all unite over Chipotle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is true. That's the unifying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the unifying thing. What am I hoping for? That's the question. What am I hoping for in this season?
Or longing for, however.
Yeah. This is not meant to be like a Miss America pageant answer. So just give me 2 seconds. I am longing for. I think I'm longing for peace, and not just peace on earth, goodwill towards men. I mean, like, it is just tumultuous. It just feels kind of tumultuous right now. And I think that's impacting all of us in some way. And we're just so fed stuff from social media and the algorithm and the news cycle and whatever it is. But also in the news cycle, there's like real heavy violence and real sad stuff. And I don't know if that, I think the news cycle makes it seem like that's new, but also the Christmas story tells us it's not.
It's always been happening.
It's just been
even
going.
Even before that, read Kings, Chronicles, like literally they
Judges.
All, yeah. It's just
Judges
like,
is just a metal song. We got to talk about music here. Isaac, who can't rebut this because he doesn't have a microphone, likes metal.
Mm.
He does. And yeah, Judges is a metal song. but I think there's so much in that that like we are inundated with. I told, you know, a while back, I think I told my wife, like I was just feeling a lot of anxiety because I was reading a ton of news. I think it honestly came down to I'm just reading a ton of news and I just need to chill for a second on reading news. And maybe my awareness was another form of my like getting control of things. If I'm aware of all of it, then it can't take me unawares and I will control something. Mm-hmm. Right. And all it did was just make me bear a burden I can't bear. And so anyway, I think I'm longing for some peace and rest for my family, for our church, for people around the world. But in that, I think for individuals, I'm longing for a lack of anxiety. I think, you know, for myself, the feeling of imminent something's just another shoe is going to drop.
Yeah.
I'm an Enneagram 6 at my core, so I just
constant state of low anxiety. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a low grade anxiety, just buzzing, neon sign, just buzzing all the time.
Yeah,
that's a thing. So on my end, so peace is a thing, and especially in the worship world, even just little things like as we approach Christmas, this is kind of our.
It's like, crazy season. It's Super Bowl. Super Bowl, basically.
Yeah, it's go time. Go time, and there's always like a. I think there's a gap between perhaps what we experience and what like folks in the pews are actually thinking. Meaning like I've done at this point 15, 16 Christmases in local churches. And I'm like, oh man, every year is like, can we find new arrangements? Do we just stick with old arrangements? Like, how do we sing this song? And oh my gosh, I've sung Joy to the World 1,000 times. And I can't do it anymore, but we're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just anxiety about that. And sometimes the holiday season does not bring about, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it doesn't bring about feelings of peace for me.
Mm.
It doesn't bring about feelings of rest. So I kind of want that.
I actually think a lot of the congregation feels that too. It's just such, we put so much pressure on ourselves in this season to do all the things, to be at all the parties, to prep all the things. It's just like, it's too much, actually. I think we need to all just like.
Chill out.
Just chill for
everybody, just take it down a notch. Let's just lower the bar.
Take a breath.
And I'm a one. I'm a perfectionist. So I'm constantly raising the bar, but I'm like, let's just all agree to lower the bar.
Yep, totally. Don't want to make it a beauty pageant thing, but.
No.
Peace. No. I really want that.
Yeah. Mm. Retweet that. That's my answer too. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So last question. I've got worship arts people here, so I have to ask for our final question. what's on your Christmas playlist right now? Favorite album, artist, Christmas song? I don't think you can play it because we'll get copyrighted, but. Ooh. What are you loving right now for Christmas music?
We can sing our own rendition.
Oh,
of
hey!
Them, right?
I'm trying to pull up my Spotify.
Mm.
What's on my playlist? Like Christmas playlist, not just playlist.
Yeah. What do you go to? Or I mean, just what are? I was thinking Christmas music, but if you're like anti Christmas music, you can tell me what else you're listening to.
Isaiah, I'm curious to hear your take on this too, because when it comes to like worship music in general. I don't listen to a lot of it in my spare time.
Are you saved?
So are you like... Matt's listening to like Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas. Right. That's what
secular.
He's doing.
Are you saved? I think I have, I don't know, at a while back, like a few years ago, this is probably 3-4 years ago, I realized I'm not the young guy in the room anymore. And I kind of got... I don't know. I just couldn't listen to a lot of like Christmas music over and over again, just on repeat. Because sometimes I just don't want, when I'm leading a song, I just don't want it to be like, I really don't want to just suck the life out of it for me. I don't want to perform the song.
Right.
I want to like feel it with our church, and I want to like be able to be
worshiping.
Yeah, be worshiping. Yeah. Experience it in the moments and sort through the words. So a song, I love O Holy Night. That
classic.
I love that tune. Especially the second verse. The second verse of it, about a weary world rejoicing. Like, I love that.
Yes.
Chains shall we break, for the slave is our brother.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much rich, there's so much rich, beautiful, like, actual grittiness in that song. Plus, it's just epic. It's just freaking huge.
But
just,
if you let yourself really think about the words you're singing, you're going to feel something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. That's good.
Divine. Yeah. Or Hark the Herald, where it's the mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die.
Period.
I'm like, there's resurrection in a Christmas song. And I love that.
Mm.
I love dwelling on those. But so I just, in general, I probably need to listen to more like worship music or like Christmas music in my spare time. But I love, I don't know why I'm looking at Isaac when I say this. I like funk a lot. This is not related to this. I love funk and R&B and country.
Oh.
Country Christmas?
Amy Grant's Christmas album, just... Have you not been told? It's so good.
Country
okay,
is crazy.
Okay, no. See, I knew you were going to have a reaction. I was going to save this hot take for next week.
Ooh.
I think Amy Grant Christmas is so overrated.
Is that the one?
It.
Shut up. Is that the one you were going to say?
Yeah, I hate it.
The Home for Christmas album? You're not serious, are
you? My mom literally threatens to disown me over this opinion.
Oh,
but
wow.
I think it's so bad.
I thought you were going to say something... like that deserved the hate, but this is the Home for Christmas album.
Yeah, no, I hate it.
This is it. This is the end.
Wow.
You know, my mom plays it on repeat. I think I've been traumatized by it.
This is the fullness of
wow
hope and longing.
Praise God.
Summarized in a record.
Amen. To God be the glory.
I know. It's so good. So if you haven't listened to Amy Grant's Home for Christmas album, start there.
Or
she's
don't.
Also got
Christian's gonna cut that out. The pod.
Yeah, I hope she doesn't. You know, yeah, that'll be real. But that's all. I love that album.
Nice.
The only one that I like, just because it's such a bop. She sings Emmanuel, right? That's the only one. I will blast that in my car and scream it. It's so epic. Beyond that one, nah. I'd be happy to never listen to Amy Grant Christmas ever again in my life.
Oh, that is like 80s. It is such
it's
a good
so
song.
It's so synthy and like, yeah,
and
fun.
Mysterious. The intro to the song makes me want to like walk on tiptoes and like peek my head around corners and stuff.
That's not creepy at all.
But listen, I mean, do you know the intro to this song, right?
No, I don't think I've even listened.
Oh my gosh, we're going to listen to it after this.
Okay,
because I will jam to that song 100%.
Okay. I really don't listen to Christmas music on my own.
Fair.
Like, I mean, I'll kind of get down with it in public settings, like, and kind of know half of the words, but not really know the words, and I'll just kind of be there. But I'm not like, you know, I need to start listening to Christmas music and put up all the Christmas decorations. I'm kind of just like, it's another day.
We're going
in my life. But
that's fair.
Yes. I did, this is kind of off topic now, but I did bring two songs that came up as I was thinking about this podcast episode and thinking about hope, longing, and waiting. These are two worship songs that I really love, that really, like whenever I listen to them, I feel like it's just fuel in my tank. Like, I'm waiting for something good, and I should keep going. And so I'll just drop them here. If you want to give them a listen, the first one is I'll Be Ready by Tiffany Hudson.
So good.
And the other one is You Hold Me Now
by
Hillsong United.
That's a classic. That came out when I was in college.
Oh, yeah. That was a moment for me.
Mm.
I was like bawling. I was like, oh, there's no weeping, no hurt, no pain in heaven.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
So if you need something, give them a listen.
Came off the Across the Earth Tear Down the Walls album by Hillsong in 2009, and I was a junior in college.
Whoa.
I was a freshman in high school.
Oh,
cool. Thanks for that.
Sorry.
I didn't ask for a cross reference today.
Wow.
On that lovely note.
Thoughts and prayers for you.
Yes,
Matt.
We will pray for you.
Listen to it. It's so good.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. Such a joy talking to you. And we're actually not really done yet because the three of us will be on next week to talk about the next theme in the Advent series, peace and peacemaking. So I'm really excited for that.
Shoot.
All right, friends. Well, that is it for today's episode. And we will catch up with you all next week.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Next Steps. Don't forget to check out the show notes for a list of resources if you'd like to keep the conversation going. If you want to learn more about how to get connected at Blackhawk or simply find tools to help you grow, check out blackhawk.church/hub. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and subscribe so you won't miss future episodes. Until next time, let's keep following Jesus together.